Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Did you know the Bible said that God has given to every man the measure of faith? Kenneth Hagin Sr. said that means every saved man. Maybe he's right, but that's not what the scripture said. It says to every man, he's given a measure of faith. I believe that faith is necessary not just to be saved, but to live. When you hear somebody's committed suicide, they're at the end of the line. They've ran out of faith. Somebody asked me, writing a book, they private messaged me this week and said, explain to me the difference between hope and faith. My explanation was so short and so simple, it wasn't what he wanted, a lot of words. Hope is always in the future. Faith is in the present. The substance of things hoped for, they come to pass right now. Faith is always in the present. Hope is always in the future. And so Paul, writing to Timothy, said, you've got faith in you, but it's not doing what it's supposed to do. It's still there. And so I would submit to you today that we probably would be hard-pressed to find anybody in this building that does not have in them the deposit of faith. You've got faith inside of you. Now, your faith might not be operating at premium operation, but you've got faith in you. And so Paul's admonition was, faith is in you, but it needs to be stirred up. It needs to be activated. It needs to be excited. It's kind of like Bishop Jake's famous sermon, Make My Baby Jump. Something inside of you, it needs to be activated. It's inside of you. And faith is so important, because without faith, we cannot please God. And people are in this building are God pleasers, or you wouldn't be here. You came today thinking it would please God. So if you want to please God, you have to be a person not just of residual faith, but activated faith, excited faith, unfeigned faith, authentic, real, not pretend, not pseudo, not knockoff, but real faith. I love this story that Jesus illustrated. It goes like this in Matthew 11:22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he has said shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus is talking about the power of faith. Did you know that every person in this building has faced, is faced, and will face some kind of mountain in your life? What does that mean? Some kind of an obstruction. As Joel Osteen said, you're not living your best life now. There's a mountain in between you and your best life, which is God's desire for you. Jesus came that you might have abundant life. There's a mountain between you and your abundant life. And Jesus said the way you conquer that mountain is by faith. He wasn't talking about me removing the Rocky Mountains. If I was to move the Rocky Mountains, it would sure hurt a lot of people and it wouldn't affect me at all. He's talking about the mountains in my life. You say, not physical mountains? Well, I've never known anybody that needed to move a physical mountain except one group of people in Tennessee. There was a group of Tennessee that bought a little building for a church. And once they bought it, they figured out they had a problem. It was right at the foot of a mountain, and every time it rained, that rain would come off of that mountain and flood their little church. And they owned the mountain, but it was beyond their capacity to do anything about it. But they prayed, somehow, God, let us be able to use this church. Whatever you've got to do, stop that water coming from that mountain. Not long after that, somebody, a contractor, knocked on their door and said, would you be interested in selling this dirt behind you on this mountain? Said, we've got a huge cavernous place we have to fill, and we want to buy this from the church. They gave the church millions of dollars and literally took 2 years and moved that mountain. So that was a literal mountain moving faith. Not only that, they were blessed financially. Most of us will not have that kind of mountain to move, but you will have serious obstacles to the purpose and the will of God in your life. And the key is to realize that you are a new creation in Christ. Do you ever just look around you at unsaved people and realize that you are superior, not in your flesh that you should be proud, but you are superior in the fact that you are a new creation because the same God that created the universe now lives in you. And as Jesus said in 1:8, you now have power. You've got to begin to acknowledge that. Your confession is so important. It's so important that you have faith in your life. And so every person faces some kind of a mountain. But anything that is a derision or an obstacle to you from God's will, it can be removed. But you've got to have faith that it will be moved. Many will never master their God-given faith in a way to conquer their mountain. But God wants you to. And so consequently, they live in the valley. And they live there all of their life, and they never receive the life that God has planned for them. I said the other day, the saddest thing is that so many people will take the best part of them to the grave, the best accomplishments to the grave. They simply do not have the desire or the ability because they do not commit to Christ what they should do. And so they never, ever fulfill their purpose. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. When you get that purpose, you will have mountain moving faith. And so Paul would write to Timothy and said, you've got faith, but it's not activated. Stir it up. Stir it up. Excite your faith. The Bible said about David, the man after God's own heart, that he encouraged himself. It's up to me to realize that one of the gifts that God has given me is faith, that I have great faith, and that it's up to me to keep it activated, to keep it excited, that no matter what happens in my life, that I am going to overcome that through the power of faith. In Romans 12:3, it says, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I believe that. Every man has given a measure of faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say, well, how can I excite my faith? It's to learn to rightly divide the word of God. You know, some of the old timers didn't know how to rightly divide the word of God. I remember a person I knew that they read the word of God all the time, but they sought out the most negative scriptures they could find. Their favorite scripture was, in the last days, people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Well, that's true, but that's not what I want to dwell on. I want to find in the word of God, my faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. I want to find in the word of God things that are going to excite my faith. And so rather than dwelling on the lovers of pleasure, I'm going to dwell on the fact that I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He will go before me and fight my battles. What are you doing, preacher? I'm exciting my faith. You see, Jesus might be in your boat, but he might be asleep. You need to arouse him. You might have great faith in you, but you need to arouse that faith. You need to excite that faith. You need to activate that faith. Every man has that faith, but you have to learn how to activate your faith. And it's not just enough to have it once in a while, but to walk in faith. Every day you're walking in faith. Everything that happens to you in your life will affect your faith. Let me say that again. Everything that happens to you in your life will affect your faith. It'll challenge your faith. It will diminish your faith. Or it will increase your faith. And you're the one that decides how your faith is going to be affected. Do you know that the only difference between you and the most wicked person on earth is your faith? They simply don't believe that God is, and so they're wicked people. They don't believe that God will reward those that diligently seek Him, so they are wicked people. See, I believe that God is always with me. You know, some of you would be better people if your mother, even though you're 50 years old, if your mother was at your elbow all the time, you'd still be a better person. You just don't want to disappoint your mama. I read about a man that went to rob a bank, and his mother had raised him to be a Christian, and he put that little note over there and said, put the money in the bag. And so the teller was putting that money, scared, putting that money in that bag, and finally he said, I can't do this. And he handed her the gun. She said, what are you doing? He said, I heard the voice of my mother say, thou shalt not steal. You'd be better people if your mother was at your elbow in many cases. Well, your mama is not at your elbow all of your life. But if you get faith and you understand that God is there and He hears and He sees and He's able, that's faith, believing that God is and that God is a rewarder. And so no matter what happens, I say, I got to stir up my faith. And so when I go through a trial, I try to find a scripture that will activate my faith. I can do this. I can overcome this. God said I could do it. God told me how to do it. I'm exciting my faith. It's, you know, it's just something to excite your faith. How could you be a 90-year-old woman and look in the mirror and say, you're going to be a beautiful mother? You're 90 years old. How can you be 100 years old and say, you're going to be a handsome father? And you're 100 years old. It takes faith to do that. Faith deals in the impossible. Friend, a lady wrote me from California, and she said, if I could be with you every day, Pastor, and if I could be in your church every week, she said, I could be an overcomer. I could live victoriously, but I can't do it by myself. Friend, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches God will never leave nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. If you will get the idea, I've always lived with that deal that I'm not alone, that God's always there. God is cheering me on. And sometimes God is rebuking me, saying, no, that's not right. That's not what you are to do. That's not the way to do it. But I always feel the presence of Almighty God. You remember the story that Jesus told about the man that had an evil spirit. The evil spirit was cast out, and he comes back and finds his house, the heart. He finds it empty, swept, and garnished, and he goes and gets 7 friends, and now the man's condition is worse than it was in the beginning. What happened? The man was emptied, but he was not filled. You see, religion can empty you out, but it cannot fill you. But friend, if you come to Christ and you do not, you say, how come so many people backslide? It's because they don't get filled with faith. If you've got faith, you won't backslide. If you've got faith, you will become a person of prayer. You won't have to have somebody making you pray. You won't have to have somebody, I used to have a guy working for me, and he was not trained in everything. But I tell you what, he was a Hispanic guy, and he was pushing 70 years of age, but he was well with her, because when he ran into a problem, that he'd always go online and he would find a tutorial that would tell him, and he would sit there and watch that thing, and then he would fix it. I marveled at how resourceful he was. Well, our tutorial is not social media. It is the Word of God. You won't always know what to do, but you just sit down and open that Bible, and God will begin to reveal it to you, and your faith will begin to leap. Your faith will get excited and say, I know I can overcome this. I know I can perform this. I know I can do what it said. And so you've got to find ways to excite your faith. And I can tell you the reason why some of you do not have excited faith. It's the people that you run with. There are people, you know, Becky said to me, I don't know how many years ago it is, but Becky said, I marvel at your faith. And then she said, and I marvel at your faith considering the people you talk to. and she was talking about negative preachers that were in my life. And I literally, from that moment, began to look at that. And I excluded some people from my life just from what she said. I excluded one man who was just so negative in behavior and thought and conversation. I preached a funeral here a while back, and he followed me around at a funeral. He said, "I've lost your number." "Well, you hadn't lost my number. I changed it to get rid of you." I'm like Rod Parson. Rod Parson and I and another guy was walking across his parking lot, and the guy said to him, he said, "Brother Parsley," he said, "I called your number and it don't work. I need to get your new number." And Parsley didn't crack a smile. He looked at him and said, "Why do you think I changed it?" He said, "You are the reason I changed it." The guy looked like somebody had slapped him across the face. And Rod Parsley's tough. He didn't apologize or anything else. There's some people that you probably need to change your number because they don't excite your faith. They depress your faith. And you're the judge of that. Ask yourself, after you're with somebody an hour, do you go to lunch with somebody? Now, how do you feel? Do you feel like you can conquer all things? Or do you feel like you want to slit your wrist? You've got to ask yourself that. If you feel despondent and depressed and less, that needs to be the last dinner you have with those people. Why? Because you want to be around people that excite your faith. You know, I was raised, I've said this before, I was raised in Pentecost churches, and some of the things were just awesome, wonderful, good people. But sometimes it was extremely negative. Sometimes I would go home a lot less faith activated than I went in. When that happens, you probably ought to start church shopping about that point in time. I can watch certain preachers on television and immediately it affects me negatively. I won't tell you his last name, but when I watch John and he criticizes Joel Osteen and he just goes down the list by name criticizing people, I don't feel better about the kingdom of God. I feel worse. So I quit watching that guy. I don't care how popular he is. All his message is criticizing other ministries. That does not excite my faith. So I don't watch him anymore. I watch people. And I'll tell you what, somebody said, "That's my favorite preacher." That doesn't mean that he is the greatest orator you've ever heard. That means he excites your faith. And your favorite preacher won't be your favorite preacher all your life. You will change preachers because they will be ministering to you at different dimensions of your life. My favorite preacher used to be T.D. Jakes, and I still enjoy him. But right now, I'd rather hear Bill Winston. Bill Winston is amazing. He's one of the greatest faith preachers I ever heard. And so I go from preacher to preacher. They are my favorite preacher at the time because they excite my faith. You need to find preachers that excite your faith. You need to find people that excite your faith. You need to find scriptures that excite your faith because, friend, you're going to come up against a Goliath, and if your faith is excited, you won't be looking at the size of Goliath. You'll be looking at the size of Jehovah. You'll say, "It does not matter because my faith is so strong in me. I can move this mountain. I can overcome this problem no matter what it is." And friend, I know what it is to have spurt faith. Faith that just flowers and blossoms up. That's good. But I want faith that just stays every day of my life, walking in faith. Not just faith that prepares itself for yonder battle, but faith that is right there in my footstep, just one by one. David did not become a shepherd to kill a lion or kill a bear. That was just a happenstance. He didn't even know that bear and that lion was going to be there. He was just doing his job. Friend, there are things that are going to come against you that you can't prepare for because you don't know they're coming. But if you have excited faith, it won't matter whether it's a bear or a lion or a Goliath. It's all the same to you. No matter what the trial, the temptation, situation, no matter what the problem, no matter how big the mountain, it won't matter, because you say, I am a woman of faith. I'm a man of faith, and my faith stays excited all the time. I'm just looking for a mountain. And so, praise God, I'm finding things that excite my faith. The Old Testament prophet said, the word is like a fire shut up in my bones. Friend, you haven't understood the power of the word until it's a fire inside of you. I mean, it's just like a fire inside of you. Jesus said, it is written. You have not yet come to the place in your faith that God wants you until the devil can come with his next trial, and you don't back up. You take a step forward and say, it is written, and the devil knows he's in trouble, because he knows the power of the word of God, and he knows he is about to be smitten and overcome, because you have got the fire of the word of God inside of you, and you're not depressed or fearful. You're excited in your faith and say, this is going to be one more victory for me. I preached a dedication or an anniversary for a friend of mine in Dallas, Texas, a number of years ago. There was some preacher there that I didn't know. And the next day he had lunch with a pastor I preached for. He said, I didn't think much of your preacher last night. He told my friend. He said, why not? He said, too many bear stories. Just too many bear stories. My friend said, if you want to get in a car with me, I'll take you to San Antonio and show you the bear skins. Friend, you're going to have some bear stories in your life. You're going to have some lion stories in your life. Hallelujah, because you have power over everything, not through your flesh, but the power that you have in your faith in your God. Your God is more than able, and no weapon formed against you can prosper, praise God, and you are now fit for the battle in Jesus' name. So I'm looking for people, and I'm looking for things, and I'm looking for experiences that excite my faith. Get my faith revving up, praise God, because something is about to happen. And so when I need my faith excited, I go to the Word of God. When I need my faith excited, I need to hear a good report. A good report is like a cup of water to your soul, the Bible said. A good report makes your bones fat. In other words, it makes you strong. You've got to sort out the people. Help who you can. But let me explain about helping people. When you help people, you do it pretty quick. If you learn to live with people that need help, they will absolutely draw all of the strength out of you. You help them and move on. Help them and move on. Help them move on. And then you find people that when you're around them, you just feel stronger. You're just more excited in your faith. And you learn to spend more time with those people. I found that in life. My friend looked at his son. He said, see my son over there? I said, yeah. He said, he'll be broke all of his life. The guy saying that was a millionaire. I said, how come you'd say that about your son? He said, because he has all poor friends. He don't have no rich friends. That means everything is going out all the time. Nothing comes into him. He said, me, I got poor friends and I got rich friends. Said, sometimes it's going out, but he said, sometimes it's coming in. Friend, if you're going to be spiritually astute and victorious, spiritually victorious, if your faith is going to be excited, you're going to find out you have people on all levels. You've got people you're pouring in, but you've got some people that are pouring into you that are activating your faith, and you're looking for those people all the time. Friend, if you want to activate your faith, think about what the Lord has done. There are advantages to being older. There are advantages to being older. I give young people a lot of latitude. They just don't have the experiences I've had. I look at them and think they're making the same mistakes I make. And if I tell them that, they will ignore my story. They would rather experience the failure themselves. So there are advantages to being older. And spiritually, particularly, there are advantages to being mature. Because when something comes against me, I said, aha, I've been here and done this. This is not my first Gethsemane. This is not my first Golgotha. This is not my first lion's den. This is not my first fiery furnace. This is not my first giant. This is not my first Red Sea. I've been here before, praise God. And I know that it's the same old woman in a different dress. And so I'm not afraid, devil. I've done this before. And my faith is excited. My faith says, at any moment now, the anointing is going to come upon me and the victory is going to be mine in Jesus' name. Find ways to activate your... Somebody said, well, I don't need to go to church all the time. You ought to go 7 days a week just to get your faith excited. Just to get it stirred up. You say, well, I don't need... Then you ought to be a good stirrer at home. Friend, if you don't go to church 7 days a week, you ought to have a great prayer life at home. If you're not going to go to church 7 days a week, you better have a good Bible searching and dividing it in your own home. Because every day of your life, you need to turn your faith on. Get your faith excited. The devil doesn't take a vacation. The devil knows his time is short. The devil's in a hurry. The devil realizes he's running out of tomorrows, the Bible said in Revelation 12. He's not going to give you a break. He's not going to give up on you. You got to get up every day and say, this is devil busting day, praise God. In the name of Jesus Christ, my faith is excited because my anticipation is not what the devil is going to take from me. My anticipation is what am I going to take back from the devil that he's taken back from me. I'm claiming everything I had and some more too. Hallelujah. I've told you the story 3 or 4 times about my friend that they broke into his tack room and stole all of his thousands and thousands of dollars worth of saddles. He happened to go visit the guy's barn. The guy wasn't there. He found all of his stolen stuff. He took everything the man had stolen from him. This guy's a pastor, a Holy Ghost. And then he took all that guy's stuff and he put it all in his truck. He took his own stuff. He took the other guy's stuff. He starts out and he meets that guy coming in. He said, hey, buddy, I found the stuff you stole from me. He said, I'm sorry. He said, you don't know how sorry you are because I got everything you stole back and I got everything that's in your tack room. I got it in the back of this truck. And he said, I'm taking it. You don't have nothing left in that tack. I'm taking yours and mine. The guy said, you can't do that. He said, let's call the police then. The guy said, go ahead and take it. Friend, what the devil don't know is I'm going to take back everything he's stolen, and I'm going to take back some stuff I ain't ever seen. And if he don't like it, I'll call the Holy Ghost police on him. Why? My faith is excited. These are the best days I've ever had. Hallelujah. When the devil comes in like a flood, and friend, we are seeing a flood. That means the Lord is building a standard in the name of Jesus Christ. The best days of your life start today. The best days of your life are now and tomorrow. The best days of your life are before you. The church of the living God is not going to be defeated. The Bible said that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ signed it in blood. And ladies and gentlemen, our best days are ahead in Jesus' name. And my role as a pastor, as a preacher, as a believer, as a brother, my role is to excite the faith of every believer I come in contact with. Make them think that they can do it. Some people are just negative. They'll rain on your parade. They fail, so they think you've got to fail. They have no aspiration to get higher, so they want to pull you lower. They have no aspiration for acquisition, and so they want you to diminish what you have. Get away from those people. You're not a grasshopper. God's put you in the promised land to conquer the land, to kill the giants. Say, but they're bigger than we are. But it doesn't matter because we are not fighting with our strength. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty. How? Through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Activate your faith. Excite your faith. Look in the mirror. Give yourself a good talking to every morning before you go out out that door, I am clothed in the Holy Spirit. I'm set on fire of the Holy Ghost. I'm covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ is on for me. There's no weapon that's going to be able to conquer me. I am more than a conqueror. I am victorious. I speak in the name of Jesus Christ. His angels are before me, behind me, and beside me. Praise God. It doesn't matter what happens. My faith is excited. I will overcome. Can you give God some praise in this house right now? I tell you, there's somebody in this building that is going to have the greatest victory you've ever had in your life this week. Somebody that's been waiting on a job is going to get that job this week. Somebody, the check is in the mail. Somebody, that reconciliation is going to happen. Somebody, that child is going to come back home. This is your greatest hour. Activate your faith. Excite your faith. Stir up your gift in the name of Jesus. Throw both hands up and say, that's me, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Shitoromoko sotolobayaha. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shiko, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room right now, right now. He said the faith is in thee. Stir it up. You've got faith inside of you. Stir it up right now. Excited right now. Look at that and see what it is. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things not seen. Look at it. See the picture as it is. If your husband's not saved, don't see him on a bar stool. See him in an altar. Get the picture in your mind. Get the picture in your mind. If your kids are not living for God, don't see them out there in a drug den. See them in the house of God. Let your faith paint the picture like you want it. Paint me a Birmingham, the song said. Paint me a picture that I want to see, and your faith.